Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. God is the giver of each and every day, and we come to sing praises to the generous heart that gives us this moment on this very day. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the very first time. Welcome. Those of us who are here week in and week out will be looking for folks we don't know to shake your hand and welcome you. But if we don't get to you soon enough, find someone and introduce yourselves to us, because we are very pleased that you're here this morning, and we'd love it if you would make a home here with us. Now, one important way of doing that, of course, is by becoming involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find a lot of that listed in your bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a couple of things as announcements here. First of all, today at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary, we will have our monthly Tazay service. If you have attended, you'll know what a treat you're in for. If you haven't, it is a time of prayer and silence and singing and no sermon. There's a plus, right? It's a time of quiet and respite in a noisy and busy world. And I know that you would appreciate having that time if your world is as noisy and busy as mine often is. 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary this afternoon. Also, on August 9th through August 11th, we will have the Youth Ministry Assessment Ministry Architects team coming here to help us assess our youth ministry as it is now and look for ways that we can improve on that and do even a better job. I think we have a really marvelous youth ministry, but you can always improve on things, and this group is here to help us do that. You can read more about it in your bulletin insert, but there will be some meetings that you as a congregation will be invited to if you would care to come. So read more about it, look at those dates, and see if you would like to offer some input into that assessment so we can do an even better job of making disciples for Jesus Christ, especially as it relates to young people. You know, when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, they collected manna, but they could only collect enough for one day. If you tried to keep it over, it would spoil. Or, of course, you could collect 2 days' worth as you entered the Sabbath. But if you tried to hoard it, you couldn't keep it. It went bad. Jesus has a story about something very similar that we're going to be telling in just a few minutes. Stick around.
us to this place. God summons us to this place. God will send us from this place
to show others the beauty of God's love.
Praise be to God. It is a courageous and a beautiful thing to come before God and one another to confess the ways that we have fallen short. Let us join in prayer together before the one whose love knows no bounds. Creator God, we confess that we believe we will never have enough, that we need more of everything, that we deserve abundance. And yet it is clear that we already have so much more than most. We confess that we are fearful of sharing, fearful of losing our grip on security, fearful of touching and knowing the pain of others. And yet your Son, the one we claim to follow, spent his life sharing all that he had. We confess that we are often paralyzed by weight of responsibility, the challenge of knowing our abundance, the awareness that we have much to share. And yet we still decide to do nothing. Reveal to us our privilege, forgive us our selfishness, and embolden us to love. It is through the mystery of the all-encompassing love of Christ that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God who invites us always to share in the beautiful mystery of this love.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and join us, you're welcome. If you'd like to bring a parent, that's perfectly all right. This time of year always reminds me of when I was a little boy, because this time of year is kind of a hot and sweaty time of year, and it was the very same time of year that we would go out to the garden, and we had a huge garden, and we'd pick all kinds of, we'd pick cucumbers, we'd pick beans and peas and corn and tomatoes, all kinds of stuff. And then we would either sit in the yard, often we would sit in the yard, sometimes we would sit in the house, and we would snap beans. I get your question in just a second, okay? Okay, thanks. We'd snap beans, or we would shell peas, or we would peel tomatoes and cut them into little pieces, or sometimes we would get cucumbers ready for my mama to make pickles, and then she would put them in, we called it canning, but we didn't put them in cans like you find at the store, but in glass jars that had little flat tops and rings that you would twist down on the top. And my mother would put them in a great big kettle called pressure cooker. And when she brought them out and set them to cool, you could hear them pop. They'd go. And you knew when they popped that they had sealed. Then we'd put them away and we would eat them during the winter. So all late summer we spent working in the garden or with the food that came from the garden. We had so much, of course, we gave a lot of it away. Now, we didn't grow potatoes, so we'd get potatoes from my Uncle Dudes, who did grow potatoes, and we'd give him some of what we grew. And that's just how we did. We all shared. I bet you all learned to share in preschool, didn't you? I didn't get to go to preschool, but listen, I learned how to share. And I learned it in part from my mom and my dad. Now, you're going to hear a story. You've heard it read, and you're going to hear me talk about a story where Jesus' disciples come to him, and they wonder how they're going to feed this great crowd of people. And he says, you feed them. And you know how they feed them? They feed them by sharing, just the way we did with our food, just the way people do today when they have gardens and they have too many tomatoes or zucchini or whatever. They just give them away to anybody who will take them. But Jesus is teaching us by actually doing what he's telling us to do, and that is sharing. Okay, you got a question now or no? No. Okay, good. Well, why don't we pray? One is bigger than zero. That's really important for us to know, too, and thank you. And everyone is important, right? To God and to us. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for sharing with us, for sharing your love, for sharing Jesus. Thank you for teaching us how to share. Help us to be the kinds of people that Jesus would have us be and follow his example in sharing with others. In his name we pray, amen. Thank you for coming down. Thank you. That right there makes it all worthwhile. As most of you know who have known me any time, I grew up in a very rural part of Middle Tennessee in Stewart County and Montgomery County. And we went to little bitty country churches often, and it wasn't until I was really a teenager that we had a full-time pastor in one of these churches. Often we would have preachers who had real jobs during the week and would come in on the weekend to preach. And sometimes they would come in from Clarksville or even as far as Nashville or Paducah or Murray, and that meant that when they came in to preach, they would preach the morning service, then they would preach the evening service. But one of the families of the church had the privilege of hosting the preacher through the middle of the day for Sunday dinner, which of course was the noon meal, not the evening meal. Now, there was a training program that the children had to go through before the preacher could come and eat Sunday dinner. Now, it wasn't just manners either. No, because you see, every time the preacher came, there were going to be, and we knew this, there were going to be two or three fine fat hens that were going to enter the ministry that day. And so the children had to learn to say, oh no, I like the back. Oh, that's okay, the wing's my favorite part. And to say it with some conviction, so that the visiting preacher could get all the good parts and not have to feel guilty about it. You see, so we were sure that we wanted to have plenty to eat, so we had way more than enough. And of course, with what was left over after Sunday dinner, and there would always be a good bit left over, we would just cover it with tea towels, and it would sit there all afternoon, and then we'd have it for supper as well, which is probably not the healthiest practice in the world, but we seemed to survive just fine on it. Well, you know, it was always a big deal to feed the preacher. But in the story today, we get just the reverse. It's the preacher who feeds the people. Remember from last week, Jesus had just gotten word that John the Baptist had been executed. He has been busy traveling around preaching and teaching and healing, and he wanted a little rest. He wanted a little respite from all of this busyness. So they went to a deserted place. What happened was, he had been so well known from his teaching and preaching and healing that the crowds followed him. So that when he arrived at this place he thought was going to be deserted, it was not deserted. There was a crowd already there. And Mark says, he saw them and he had compassion for them because they looked like a bunch of sheep wandering around without a shepherd. So instead of actually getting the rest he needed and taking nourishment, because Mark says they hadn't even had time to eat, instead Jesus teaches and preaches and helps the people who had come to seek his help. Well, now later in the day, of course, the disciples, which are called apostles here for the only time in Mark, interestingly enough, but the disciples are concerned about the logistics of this group. Now, you know, there are some of us who are not real good about details and logistics. I'm one of those. So we have to surround ourselves with people who are good at those things. And the disciples recognized it was getting late in the day. These people were far away. They were in the middle of nowhere. They were far away from any store. If they were going to eat, they were going to have to travel back to find food. So being concerned about all those details, they said to Jesus, you know, it's getting really late in the day. We're in the middle of nowhere. Why don't you just send all these folks away? They can get food. They can eat. And we'll get a little rest. And they got an answer they didn't want. Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, you feed them. What? That's crazy. They even responded, are you kidding? Are we going to go find a store, first of all, spend two-thirds of a year's salary to feed all these people? Are you crazy? Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Well, they counted them out. There were five. And they also had a couple of fish, maybe enough for 13 people, for the 12 and Jesus. Certainly not enough for a big crowd. And so, like Moses had done with the children of Israel, Jesus divides them into groups, sits them down, tells the disciples to begin to pass out the five loaves and the two fish. Now, there are two primary streams of interpretation that go on here. One very, very traditional interpretation is that something magic happened, and those five loaves and two fish became such that they were able to feed 5,000. And, of course, even if we consider that might be a ministerial estimate of the crowd, it was still a big crowd. But then there's another track of interpretation that says, well, you know, what Jesus did in having his disciples share what they had was the example for everyone, and instead of just listening to Jesus' teaching, people actually followed his example. They took what they had and they shared it with other people. And by the time they had finished sharing all that they had within the entire crowd, everyone had eaten and they had 12 baskets left over. Now, you can choose whichever one you want of those two. But the truth of the matter is, the principle is the same. And the principle is that the disciples, when they come to Jesus, are working out of a theology of scarcity. There's just not going to be enough. There is not going to be enough with 5 loaves and 2 fish for everyone to eat. And they know how much it's going to cost. They have figured in their mind how much it would cost to feed this crowd, and they don't have that kind of money. Jesus, on the other hand, is working out of a theology of abundance. He believes that what God provides is enough for everyone and more. You notice he did not say, okay, well, we only have these. Just make sure they're Jewish before you feed them. No. Make sure they're gainfully employed before you feed them. No. Make sure they got the right theology before you feed them. No. He doesn't say any of that. He just says, you feed them. How many loaves you got? Share them. A theology of abundance. Now, in the history of the church, we have too often worked out of a theology of scarcity. Not just with stuff, but with God's love. God's love could not be big enough to cover every possible human being, and so God only loves the people in our denomination. God only loves the people of our race. God only loves the people of our religion. God only loves the people of our cultural tradition. That's a theology of scarcity. Thank God we here at West End have proclaimed as part of our bedrock beliefs that God loves everyone unconditionally. We believe that God's love is not only unconditional, but it is overwhelming. There is a surplus of love. There is never a lack of God's love. All are welcome. All are invited to know that they are beloved children of God, without exception. That's a theology of abundance. Often the same is true of our stuff. We think, well, gosh, we don't have enough. We won't have enough for ourselves. That's what the disciples thought. If we start sharing with other people, if we start sharing with these people on welfare, if we actually allow them to get food stamps and eat, these people who have 2 jobs and still can't make a living wage, if we start sharing with them, there won't be enough for us. Theology of scarcity. The disciples were working out of that. They didn't know who these people were in this crowd. They didn't know if they were deserving of having food. And Jesus didn't care if they were deserving. He simply said, you feed them. Not the answer they wanted to hear. Whether they're deserving or not, yep. Whether they're Jewish or not, yep. No matter what, yep. You feed them. Isn't it interesting that when we begin to work out of a theology of abundance, the assumption that there is certainly more than enough for all. And we know statistically that there is more than enough food to feed the world. It just doesn't get distributed to everybody who needs it. There are certain groups within the world who use more than their fair share, including us, and waste more than their fair share, including us. And it doesn't get to the folks who cannot even find the bare minimum to live on. It's theology of scarcity. Jesus says to us in those circumstances, you feed them. Now, I'm pleased to be a part of a congregation, once again, who not only sees God's love as overarching and in surplus, but also that understands that we don't lose anything by reaching out and giving to those organizations that help those who live on the street, who help them long-term to find housing, who help them short-term just to get by. We don't lose anything when we restock the shelves of feeding programs. We don't lose anything when we welcome people into this church to sleep when the weather is cold, who would not have a place to sleep indoors otherwise. We don't lose anything, and we understand that. West End gets that. Not only do we give money to these organizations, but you all are involved in those actively giving your time, making contributions in other ways to the lives of folks that you often don't even know. Helping young children learn how to read so that they can do well in school, so they can progress and they can become folks who are helping others and sharing with others. There are those within this congregation who even lobby so that we can have more fair structures for all people. A fairer distribution of wealth, a fairer distribution of food, of all the basic needs of life. That's a theology of abundance, and I'm delighted we have that. Remember when the people were in the desert? If they tried to keep it to themselves, the manna wouldn't keep. It would spoil. My parents, some of the most generous folks I ever knew. My dad never made more than minimum wage. He was a mechanic. He was on disability for a while. He was an industrial guard. My mom did not work outside the home. But we all worked hard in the garden, putting up vegetables and fruits for the winter, sharing with others when we could. But as my parents aged, as they got up into their 80s, my dad wasn't able to make a garden. My mom wasn't able to can the way she did. But they would keep doing what they could. And there was a little block house that my dad and I had built in the early 1960s. And there were shelves in one back corner of it where they would put those cans, those ball mason jars. And I guess after a while, I know it wasn't their intention, but after a while, they just weren't able to get out there. It became kind of a junk house. Everything they couldn't use but didn't know what else to do with would wind up out in the little house there. And believe me, my parents never threw anything away. Then my mom develops Alzheimer's, and she's unable to help with that whole process. My dad is her caretaker. And then after she dies, he's there for a few more years. And when we finally go, Margaret, the girls, and I, when we finally go to clean things up after my dad died, we went back in that corner, and there were just dozens upon dozens upon dozens of those jars. And they had all been there long enough that they were spoiled. Now, it wasn't their intention to keep them to themselves. If they had thought about it, they would have shared those. They just didn't have the energy. It just didn't come to them to get rid of it. And it would have been hard to get to it with all the junk that was in the house, quite frankly. But like the manna kept to ourselves, it had spoiled and had to be poured out. There is more than enough love to go around. God has assured us of that. There's more than enough food to go around. There are more than enough resources for everybody on the face of the earth. And thank God, we in our little way here at West End try to respond. And we can do better, don't get me wrong. We've tried in Lent and Easter of this year to cultivate that attitude of giving and sharing, and hopefully folks have gotten involved in ministries that they were never involved in before. So we could do better. But thank God that we are responding at least in our little way. Instead of saying, well, let these people go take care of themselves. When Jesus says, you feed them, we do our best to take what we have and to share it with others. Not just to say we believe in Jesus, but that we follow his example and try to do for others what he has done for us. Thanks be to God. We're reminded of who we are and whose we are as we repeat both ancient and modern creeds and affirmations. So I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and join me as we remind ourselves who and whose we are. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to join everyone for some coffee and fellowship following our worship time. I invite you to take note of the gray card you find in the pew rack. One side of the card may be used to record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card with your contact information. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. You are invited to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service. Today we offer our sympathy to Lori, Tom, and Virginia Lee and their family who are mourning the death of Lori's mother, Virginia Joan Sanders, who died Wednesday, July 15th in Granada, Mississippi. We also extend our sympathy to the family of Betsy Hurd Borner, who died Friday, July 17th in Huntsville, Alabama. The services will be held here at West End on Tuesday at 3 p.m. The visitation begins at 2 p.m. on Tuesday in Reed Hall. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, merciful and just and forever faithful, we pray for the world Christ came to save. Bless the church, the body of Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that our strength is renewed like the eagles. And then send us out to proclaim the good news that in Jesus Christ there is newness of life. We pray for all who are weary from hard labor, especially for those who need a just wage, for those who work in dangerous places, for those trapped in slavery and human trafficking. Break the yokes of oppression and bonds of bitterness. We pray for all who serve on behalf of others, especially for those who care for the sick, elderly, and dying, for those who fight fires, enforce just laws, serve in the military, for those who hold public office, build up all people in peace and freedom. We pray for ourselves that we will be faithful especially in times of temptation, that our diseases will be healed so we have strength to serve others, that our love for one another and you will grow ever deeper. Hear our prayers, kind and loving God, as we pray in one voice the prayer Jesus taught all of us to say: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God spreads a table of blessings before us. Let us express our gratitude by giving a portion of what has been given to us. Thank you.
Now I send you forth to live in the abundance of God's love and God's gifts, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, and knowing that God, who is the giver of all good gifts, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to share God's love and God's gifts, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow in Christ's way, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.